It is our third hour, our final hour. It's going to be a strong hour. Let's go on the weekend strong, clones. All of y'all. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Once again, very good reaction to the flight deck, James Kelly. And I'll have that for you momentarily. Coming up at 20 past this hour, or about 18 minutes from now, Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports MMA and boxing reporter, joins us to break down Conor McGregor and Cowboy Cerrone. That's coming up later on this hour. Also, Alvin's Week That Was. Telephone lines are open. Hit them. 1-800-636-8686. As James Kelly himself said, that after he came on last week, he said it was really unusual. People were being nice. It wasn't your normal negative clone reaction to somebody on the XR4TI. They loved him. And they're being nice again. Jeff in NoCal tweets, "The Dome needs his own show." DLH1029 tweets, "Win or lose, James Kelly makes perfect sense on his bets. That's all you can ask for. You cannot account for breaks in a game that will not go your way. Pound for pound, he knows his bleep." Johnny in Texas tweets, "Holy crap. The forehead, talking like a CBS analyst. I'm loving it. Bring it back every week. It's a whole new segment, pimp." Stucknut, "I got flight deck. Plus 9.5. Hat size." Geo tweets, "Can I get James Kelly to schedule me a doctor's appointment on Super Bowl Sunday?" Matt in Vancouver, "You must pay the deck a lot of money since he likes handing it right over to his bookie. I've got Chiefs minus 7. Packers plus 7.5. Is that who you have, Matt? That's what he has. 1-800-636-8686. All right, hit me up. In fact, let's go to the phones right now. Before I go to this guy, I want to remind you who this guy is. This is the guy who threatened to meet Conor McGregor at the airport, rip his beard off his face, and make him eat it.
"Next time you fly to Las Vegas, I'll be waiting for you at the airport. Then I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it."
That guy, Cal in Vegas. He has not come around in quite some time, but he's back. Just in time for Conor McGregor to make his triumphant return to the octagon. Cal. What's up, Cal?
"Please, Conor, don't want none of this. I'll glass Conor over the head with one of his Irish whiskey bottles. Jim, that sound you played was from Smack Off 23. I told you years ago that this guy is an overrated clown. Dude hasn't won a fight since then. Conor, you're Chael Sonnen with an Irish accent. Some big bag of hot air. I'm Conor McGregor. I got a $5 haircut. I'm Conor McGregor. I got a tattoo of a tiger. Then I'll rip that tiger off your gut and beat you with it. Then you're going to need some oish and ibuprofen. Good job, Mr. Dana White. You gave Conor a fight he can actually win. I could whip Cowboy Cerrone's old ass. Dana, you got a lot of guts. You were talking trash to, quote, Oscar De La Cokehead. Oscar could knock you out with one punch. Dana, you look just like Andre Agassi, except you're really big and fat. Dana, I love the way you stand in between the fighters that weigh in, like you could do something. Those female strawweight fighters could kick your ass. Jim, before I take off, tell your little dwarf, Alvin, to do his job and give me a ticket. Everyone knows that the smack off is better when Cal in Vegas shows up. From the trailer parks in North Vegas to the south side of Hendertucky, you're welcome."
Cal in Vegas. Here's my reaction, Cal. I did not agree with one thing you just said. Not even one thing. Well, one thing. You do get a golden ticket,
I've
Cal.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden...
If you want to come on the day of the smack off, Cal, and threaten professional fighters and talk about how they can't handle you, and say that Dana White couldn't handle a, quote, strawweight female fighter that he promotes, if you want to come on and say completely whack-ass things like that, I'm here for it. You're in, Cal. Cal in Vegas. I don't know that he's going to meet Conor at the airport and rip his beard off his face and make him eat it, or rip that tiger tat off his gut and make him eat that. Or no, check that. Beat him over the head with it. But I do know that you have an invite. Now, Cal, that does not guarantee you'll get on the air that day. You know this. If you do not have an invite, I guarantee that you will not get on the air that day. Because that contest, that show is invite only. If you do have an invite, it does not guarantee that you will make it on the air. Only that you are eligible. And now the challenge, Cal, is for you not to have that ticket snatched out of your hand between now and the smack-off. And the smack-off generally is a summer thing. So you're going to have to stand in. You're going to have to hang in for the better part of 4, 5, 6 months. But you do have a golden ticket. Alvin, let me hear that sounder once again. I said at the top of the show, wouldn't it be nice to go into the weekend by giving somebody a golden ticket? And I did.
I got a golden ticket.
That's all it takes. All you have to do is call up, make some whack call, and threaten a bunch of people that you know you want no part of. And then you get in. And then if you get in and you're the best on that day, you might make 10 grand. Cal in Vegas. 5 grand. My bad. My bad. It is not 10 grand. It is 5 grand.
Uh-oh.
That one just gave me a look like, dude, did you just say that? Do we? No, we do not have 10 grand. Look at me. 5 grand. My bad. I've got Kevin Ioli coming up. He's probably going to have a more measured analysis of that fight than Cal in Vegas just did. Anybody else want to come in here? You have your telephone number. James Kelly, what do you think about his picks? Are you in line with that? He might make you some money. Hey, listen, I didn't give you the disclaimer. We do that for entertainment purposes only. Do not gamble or wager on things that you cannot afford to lose. That is for entertainment purposes only and a little bit of content. We're not telling you to do it. We're not saying we know. We're just saying this is our opinion. That's his opinion. You're going to get my opinions on the NFL on CBS on Sunday in Kansas City when I give you my picks. Kevin Ioli, next segment. All right, so really quickly. Remember a long time ago when Odell Beckham Jr. was handing out cash? Novelty money. Remember when that was a thing? That was so long ago that Carlos Beltran still had a job. That was well before a fake niece was accusing real MLB players of wearing buzzers at home plate. And it was before somebody claiming to be the son of an MLB player accused a current MLB player of using PEDs. Feels like ancient history. And yet it was only 24 hours ago. That's how ridiculous the last 24 hours have been. They've been so ridiculous. I don't even have time to get into Giannis going 32-17-7 in their win over Boston, or Brandon Ingram and Donovan Mitchell going for 49-46, respectively, in the Pelicans' win in overtime over the Jazz. There is no time for me even to get to the real news. The one thing I wanted to get to, Alex Caruso climbing to fourth in the NBA All-Star voting. You know I would have got to that in hour number one because it's awesome and it means it's working. The people are speaking. The people are making their demands known. 24 hours ago, people were freaking out about whether or not that was real cash that Odell Beckham Jr. was handing out and what that would mean to the LSU athletic department and the NCAA and amateur sports as we know them. And then within moments, it switched to people freaking out about an arrest warrant being issued for Odell Beckham Jr., not for handing out the cash to the athletes who are supposed to be playing for an education and the so-called love of the game. No, he was being singled out for a complaint of simple battery. Here is an excerpt from ESPN's report. Quote, video surfaced this week showing Beckham slapping the buttocks of a Superdome security guard in the LSU locker room after the Tigers' national championship victory over Clemson on Monday in New Orleans, according to records obtained by NOLA.com. The security guard had been telling LSU players to put out cigars in the locker room before he was slapped. The New Orleans Police Department Public Affairs Office confirmed that the security guard filed the complaint. End quote. According to NOLA.com, the person in question said his first reaction was to punch Beckham, but he kept his cool. Quote, the sworn statement suggests the officer later realized who had slapped him after a cell phone video of the encounter had gone viral. After calling the NOPD and undergoing an interview early Wednesday, the officer indicated he wanted to press charges. End quote. So now we know a little bit more about the incident, and maybe it was not as wild and as crazy as some people were making it out to be initially. You know, back when people were coming up with theories as to why the security guard was in there, what he was thinking, what he was feeling, why he was talking to LSU players, and on and on. Here's what we do know. Odell Beckham Jr. should not have been slapping the buttocks of a security guard in the locker room on Monday night. That was dumb. That was inappropriate. I mean, that really was idiotic. Like, I don't care if he meant it as a joke. I don't care if that was a lighthearted moment. I don't care if it was the result of having too much fun or too much booze or both. You just can't do it. And I'm glad the security guard did not follow through on his initial reaction to punch Beckham, because that would have been terrible. How much worse would that have been? Who knows what would have happened after that? It would have turned a stupid situation into a truly terrible situation. So I'm glad the cooler heads prevailed in the instance. And credit to the security guard for doing that. As for whether or not charges need to be filed, that's a different matter. Like, easy for me to say that that does not seem like that big of a deal. That does not seem like a major incident. The kind of thing that can be just talked out. Rather than requiring interviews and paperwork and arrest warrants. But then again, it was not my buttocks that got slapped. Buttocks. It's up to the security guard. If the security guard felt like a crime was committed and wants to press charges, that's his call. Go right ahead. The larger thing about Odell and the security guard and about everything that's happened since with Carlos Beltran's fake niece, Scott B's potentially real or fake son. You take all of this together, all these things together, and it tells me this. Everybody needs to settle down, take a step back, and just kind of breathe through it. We don't need to freak out about every single thing we see on Twitter all the time. I know it's easy. I know for a lot of you it's fun. It's tempting. Man, give it a little time. Let it breathe. Give it a break. Give it a rest. That's the lesson from the past 24 hours. Give it some time before you freak out and you rush to your keyboard because you saw something on Twitter. Because that Odell arrest warrant that had everybody freaking out and hyperventilating yesterday does not seem like that big of a deal right now, does it? Don't rush to your keyboard and overreact to everything that happens, because it might not be that big of a deal. And today, that does not feel like a very big deal. Not like yesterday, when a lot of you were making out to be the biggest thing ever. And just because it's online does not make it so. Signed, Carlos's fake niece. Signed, Scott Brosius's real or fake son. This is why I'm not rushing in anytime something does or doesn't happen. When we come back, Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports MMA and boxing reporter, he's going to break down UFC 246. Want to get his thoughts on what he expects from Conor McGregor and whether or not Cowboy Cerrone can win that fight. That's next. Alvin's Week That Was coming up. The Ask the Pros question is coming up. I want to remind you, we've got a podcast live, Jim Rome Podcast, episode 112 with Dan Wetzel. And that will be in Kansas City for the NFL and CBS. So make sure you look for that this weekend, too. A special two-hour edition. And we'll come right back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Rolling through this third and final hour, we've been talking about UFC 246. Big fight weekend. Joining us now to break that down is somebody who covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. The first sports writer to be honored as Outstanding Journalist by the Nevada Press Association. He is a friend of this program. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good to be on with you.
It's good to have you. Thanks so much, Kevin. So I spoke to Dana White yesterday about this. Kevin, let me ask you the same thing I asked him. This is not just a fight week. It's a Conor McGregor fight week.
Right.
Does that feel different to you than most other fight weeks?
Always. I mean, the excitement that's out there, when Conor McGregor's fighting. He brings in really rabid fight fans. I mean, it's crazy the atmosphere that you see. And even though the press conference the other day wasn't as wild as we're used to seeing a Conor McGregor press conference be, it was still a great event. I mean, it was sold, you know, not sold out, but filled. There was a ton of people at the Palms there watching the press conference, and all week long, the atmosphere, and there's just this anticipation that something crazy is going to happen.
Right, so one of the big talking points this week, and this goes to what you just said about the presser, is about whether or not Conor is a changed person. Like, a major change was the fact that he was actually on time for that press conference.
Yeah.
It might seem minor, but when you couple that with the actual tone that you speak of, does it feel like he might be a little bit different now?
That was my take. I actually wrote that the other day after the press conference. And, you know, you never know what's going through somebody's mind. And, you know, I'm certainly not a mind reader. But I look at this guy, and when he came into the UFC, I mean, he was a fun guy, and you liked him. I mean, he talked trash, but he was funny. And, you know, he was always trying to challenge himself and take on big fights. And as he got more successful, one of the things that happened, I thought, is he became unlikable. You know, he became nasty. And, you know, what he did with Habib during the lead-up to that fight was really bad. I mean, you know, it was mocking his religion, mocking his wife, mocking his father, and it just got really nasty and personal, and it just wasn't a good look. And then on top of that, you had Conor's actions outside of the cage, you know, some of the things that he was doing. And so that was really not a good look, and it was like, you know what, I don't care if I ever see that Conor again. But to see the Conor we saw at the press conference the other day, if that is really where he's at in his life, I think it's good for a number of reasons. First of all, it's good for him as a man and good for his family. But second, Jim, I think it bodes well for the sport. He's talking about fighting three times this year. He wants to be active. He said if he wins this and comes out of it, he wants to fight on the first week of March at UFC 248. There's nothing better for the sport if Conor is engaged and active, because he's an entertaining fighter, he's a terrific fighter, and he's a guy that wants to fight the best. So that just rises everything in the UFC when you have a guy like that fighting. So I hope that this is not just an act on his part, and that this is really kind of him going back to who he once was.
We are talking to Kevin Ioli. Well said. All right, Kevin, so what about from a fighting standpoint? He has not stepped into the cage for a fight since October of 2018. He has not won a fight since November of 2016. Do you have any idea what to expect from Conor tomorrow night?
Yeah, you know, he looks great. I tweeted a photo just a little bit ago, and you saw a picture of Conor when he was trying to make featherweight, and he had the sunken eyes and just looked terrible, and you wonder what he did to his body as he was cutting weight down to that, compared to what he looked like today, where he was muscular, he looked healthy. The thing is, you know, his timing is going to be the biggest question, I think. You know, Conor is a fighter, and this is going to be, I believe, a stand-up fight. Conor has the faster hands, and he's got the bigger punch than Cowboy has. So I think if it turns into a stand-up fight, everything favors Conor. It's just going to be, does he have the timing? If he gets to the ground, I think, you know, that's where it's advantage Cowboy Cerrone. But I'll say this. Even though Conor was really dominated and eventually submitted by Habib, think of what he did on the ground in that fight, Jim. He actually defended well for quite a long time. You know, he was on the mat in each of those rounds with Habib, and normally Habib finishes you. He gets you down, and he puts you out, as he did to Dustin Poirier his last time out. Conor, for a guy that's not known as a grappler, I thought did very well to get into the fourth round against Habib. So, you know, it's not a guarantee that that Cerrone would submit him. I think Conor will end up finishing him. I don't discount Cerrone. I think that's why this fight is fun to think about and talk about, because both guys can win. I just think Conor's fast hands and power are going to be the difference.
Kevin Ioli is joining us once again. You know, we could talk about Conor the entire time, and I'm glad you brought up Cowboy. There's some really interesting angles involving Cowboy Cerrone, but for those who do not know him or only know his name, Kevin, and are not familiar with him as a fighter, how would you describe Cerrone in the cage?
Cerrone is just an aggressive, you know, he's a guy that, you know, if you see two dudes facing off at the bar, he's the guy that loves the fight. He's the one that wants to instigate the fight. Let's throw down. And then he'll pick up his beer and drink his beer after he's done fighting. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's the UFC's all-time win leader. He's the UFC's all-time knockdown leader. He leads in fight night bonuses. He's a guy that's always in these unbelievable fights, but he's a well-rounded guy. You know, he's a kickboxer, but he has great submissions. He showed that to Mike Perry when they fought. I mean, he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything. If there's a knock on Donald, Jim, it's the fact that when he gets to the top level, And I don't know if it's he's not good enough or he mentally just can't get over the hurdle. He's 2-7 in fights against current or former UFC champions. That is not a good sign for him. He's got a lot of good wins, but when he gets to that really big fight, that's when he kind of struggles, and there's no bigger fight than Conor McGregor. So that's going to be, can he mentally overcome and get over that hurdle this week?
You know, you touched on it, Kevin, but let me put it to you another way. In your opinion, has he not fared well on that big stage because he can't handle the pressure of the moment, or how much of that is about him going up against, as you point out, either current or former champs, guys who are just better than him?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a point that, hey, there's guys that are better than he is. There's no doubt about that. But I think, you know, sometimes Cowboy, just because of what I said when you first asked me about him, the way he wants to fight, he doesn't always fight the smartest fight. And I think sometimes to his detriment, you know, he gets out there and he wants to entertain the fans and put on a show, and that's made him beloved among the hardcore fans who follow the sport religiously, but that hasn't always served him well in terms of winning fights. And I think the thing for him to do tomorrow is to come up with a game plan and don't worry about impressing the crowd. You know, he said he wants to blow the roof off the place. If he won a boring decision, that would be the absolute best thing for him. He doesn't have to worry about blowing the roof off the place, just get the win.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that's what he's thinking or that's what he would do. I would agree with you. You've also written, Kevin, that a fight with Conor is similar to a fight with Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather, because not only do you have to beat the guy in front of you, not only do you have to beat the fighter, you have to beat the aura of the fighter. How do you think Cowboy will handle that part of the challenge?
You know, that is the big question in this fight. And, you know, I think that that's going to be a difficult thing for him, really. I honestly do. You know, when he's going to walk to the cage, Cowboy's always gotten cheered, and he's been the fan favorite in almost every fight he's ever been in. People love him. Even when he fought Nate Diaz, who they also love, you know, he got out there and they were rooting for both guys. They just wanted to see a good fight. It's going to be different tomorrow. It's going to be a fight that favors Conor McGregor. The fans are going to be here very loudly for McGregor. And I think it's tough, you know, as you're a guy like Cerrone, and especially such an emotional guy as he is, I think it's going to be tough for him.
Talking to Kevin Ioli. Now, Kevin, the fight, as you mentioned, or I'm going to mention this, you talked about how Conor looks good right now physically. It is at 170. So how significant is that weight for both fighters?
I think that is advantage Donald Cerrone. I mean, Cerrone has fought. Look, I was looking at some of his best wins, and he fought Patrick Cote and beat Patrick Cote, who fought for the middleweight title. So Donald has beaten bigger guys. You know, Donald has been able to deal with the bigger guys. Conor is a small guy, and when you saw them line up next to each other, I mean, there is a big difference. It's 4 inches in height, but Donald is the wider guy, certainly, I think, physically just the bigger guy, and that's going to be one thing. Does he have the chin to withstand, you know, Conor's power? Now, you know, obviously when you move up in weight, Conor was the hardest puncher at 145. There's no way he's going to be the hardest puncher that Donald has ever seen in his career, because he's just not as big as some of these guys. That being said, the speed is going to be a factor. I think Cowboy, though, you know, is going to physically come into this fight with the advantage in terms of size, and that could help him in a number of ways, both in the grappling as well as in taking punches from Conor.
Yeah, so, Kevin, Conor is the heavy favorite, and many are assuming that he'll win that fight. I agree. I mean, Cerrone can win this fight. If he's smart, if he fights tactically, intelligently, he could win this fight. He might not put on the show that he wants to put on, but he can win the fight. If Conor were to lose, how bad would that be for his reputation, and where would that leave him?
Yeah, I think if he loses, that really hurts him quite a bit. I mean, because now you're talking, you know, two MMA fights that you've lost, as well as the Mayweather boxing match. You know, you're going to be getting into the close to 4-year time frame since he had a win. And this is a fight that most people, you know, people were, if they were complaining about the fight, it was, why is he fighting Cerrone and not fighting Justin Gaethje, who beat Cerrone? And now if he loses to the guy, you know, then that really puts him in a bad spot. But I think Conor, you know, in this way is like Mike Tyson. You know, when Tyson started to lose toward the tail end of his career, he was no less of a draw. And so I don't think if Conor chooses to go on, let's assume for a second he loses this fight, and he chooses to continue to fight, I think people will still support him. I think he'll still have that rabid fan base because of what he's accomplished. It'll be like it was with Tyson and even Ali after he lost. The fans will stay with him. But I certainly think it'll hurt his reputation quite a bit.
All right, so one last thought then, Kevin. On that point, Dana White made it pretty clear that if Conor does win, he'll get the rematch with Khabib.
Right.
And Dana believes that fight would be huge. How big would that be? And then how much of a chance would you give Conor to win that fight?
Well, I think it would be massive. I texted Dana the other day as I was writing about it, and I said, hey, Dana, I'm thinking that if Conor wins and Habib wins, because Habib has a fight that's no guarantee against Tony Ferguson, Jim. So,
sure.
You know, that is at UFC 249, and that's certainly an unbelievable fight there. But I think, I think a Conor-Habib rematch would do $3 million on pay-per-view. Mm. They did about $2.4 million the last time, and Dana said 100%. So, you know, I think he and I are thinking the same way on that. I think that's going to be a massive, massive fight. It'll have media coverage from all over the world. That will be a really big one. I cannot see Conor beating Habib. I just don't think the styles match up. You know, Conor has the power to knock him out. But we saw Habib drop him last time. Now, Conor was drinking, he said, during fight week that time and wasn't as committed as he is this time. But I just think the gulf in their grappling is so big that I don't see Conor ever beating Habib.
All right, so a quick follow-up to that. Habib and Ferguson, Kevin, I mean, if you don't know the sport, you wouldn't know this. But, I mean, could that be literally one of the best fights in UFC history in terms of the matchup itself?
I think that could be a crazy good fight because Ferguson is just this unbelievable striker who, if you look at, just search for Tony Ferguson opponents on the internet, and you come up with, look at these faces of guys after they fought him. He just tears them apart. But Ferguson was a college wrestler who has the ground game and has the submissions. So he's not going to be as good as Habib in that area, but he has the striking that's going to be better. That fight, I can't tell you how much I look forward to that fight, Jim. I think that's going to be one of the most fun fights the UFC has put on. And the UFC, give them credit, month in, month out, they put on some big-time fights. And Habib and Ferguson is among the best that they could make.
That's so true. Always. They always have the best fight the best. He covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. Once again, the first sports writer to be honored as an outstanding journalist by the Nevada Press Association. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, great to have you back. Thanks so much for that.
Thanks, my friend. Good talking to you.
You too. Kevin, always good to talk to you. Great insight. Kevin Ioli. 1-800-636-8686. Really quickly as I go to break, at the Real Left Hook tweets, listen, no one loves a Cal in Vegas call more than me. Liz in Fall City tweets, Cal, OMG, crying, laughing over here. Wells in the 360, damn, I love Cal's calls. 0% chance he wins the smack off, but dude is entertaining as hell. All right, again, I don't think that I would put somebody in if I thought they had 0% chance of winning. He probably will not win, but he is entertaining as hell. And that's why he's in the field. I can't guarantee he gets on that day, but he's in the field. I also can't guarantee that he'll still have that golden ticket come that day. Right now he has it, and he's in the field. When we return, phone lines are open. Last chance to get through. If there's anything you want to say before the weekend, you need to say it right now. Alvin's week that was, also coming up next segment. But before I get to that, I do owe you a sports update. Here it is. My man, Rich Ackerman. Let me give you one last chance to get through. 1-800-636-8686. Our final segment. Also, right now, time to answer your Ask the Pros question. You get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The ATP reads, Jimbo, any plans to hit up any local Kansas City barbecue joints? We've got the best stuff in the world here. Don't miss it, brother. Derek in Overland Park. You are definitely, you have that reputation. And I'm led to believe this is true, that the best barbecue in the world is in Kansas City. And you know what I did before I answer the question? Over the holidays, Janet actually sent out for Jack Stack. We brought that in. So we did hit that. In terms of this weekend, Derek, I don't know, it's going to be tough. Like, I get in really late tonight, so it's not going to happen then. And then tomorrow night, there is a production dinner, a production meeting, a dinner. So that's not barbecue. And then there's Sunday, which is a work day all day. So if I'm going to hit barbecue, I have to hit barbecue for breakfast tomorrow. Does that work? Or barbecue for lunch tomorrow. Does that work? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's not going to happen. I think because the big meal tomorrow is dinner and it's not barbecue, it probably will not happen. You got to rain check me on that one, Derek. My bad. Unless I can hit like a barbecued omelet for breakfast. Can you do barbecue for breakfast? Help me out. Dial me in. KC. Okay. If I can hit barbecue for breakfast, then maybe so. Looking forward to it. I will be there. Kansas City. How cold is it? We're broadcasting from the stadium. It's going to be outdoors. It's going to be cold, but it's going to be epic. A two-hour pregame show on the NFL on CBS. And as always, I will have a prediction for both games. Jason Lockenfor is going to have some updated NFL info on, among other things, Tom Brady and his status. He and I will chop that up. And then whatever happens between now and then. But I will be back there for the game and the NFL on CBS. Alvy, are you ready to roll your week that was? Let's get it. Clones, what's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Hell of a weekend. San Francisco started the weekend off with a dominant win over the Vikings.
Fires over the middle and it's intercepted at the 40-yard line by Richard Sherman.
In the playoffs, in big games, I show up.
Oh my God, this is a big Richard Sherman house.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game.
You know, he might be.
Yeah, they fake it. They snap it to Reed.
Houston, absolutely self-destructive.
You know, I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
You just turned a blowout into your own beatdown in a playoff game. That's the opposite of heading in the right direction.
Bill O'Brien is a horse's ass boob.
Touchdown, Titans!
This team right now, his identity is to get the playoffs and choke.
Having said that, folks who are trying to make that out, like Lamar Jackson is some sort of a bust, are so desperate and so transparent. Do not even come in here with that junk. Tom Pelissero.
I'm hanging in, Jim. 3 weeks till Super Bowl Sunday. Let's do this.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh. Been married 20 years?
Yeah, probably.
One day you will be married 20 years and you will not need it.
She would be like, do you want me to do it?
I hear that and I think not only is he the best guy to come off that Belichick tree, he's better than the hood. Therese Paylor. Oh, no, not again in the stadium.
I think stunned silence is a really good way to describe it. And...
And speaking of stunned silence,
I love Isaiah Thomas, and I always want to say this on your show. Ward is getting back from Red Lobster.
From Red Lobster.
With a win tonight over Clemson.
It is the morning after the national championship game. How you feeling? Welcome to the jungle. That game is over, right? It did end, right?
Well, I didn't get the job at USC. I'd like being a
USC had him and didn't want him. Even LSU initially had him and wasn't sure they wanted him. And now look at him. On top of the mountain, looking down on everybody else.
Go Tigers.
Touchdown.
Dennis
LSU.
Dodd.
One of my favorite stats. He averaged one touchdown pass per quarter this season at 60.
Fred Warner is my guest.
You know, with a little vengeance on their mind just because of how that game went the first time, we know that we're going to have to work even harder.
Dismiss A.J. Hinch.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's only cheating if you get caught. Well, they were caught. They're not going to strip the Astros of that world championship and just give it to the Dodgers.
Absolutely not.
It's like nobody stripped any PED user of their numbers.
I don't think it taints it.
You really want to punish the players, Jim. For the first 20 games, the opposing team gets four outs instead of three outs.
I got an idea. When they take the field, they're not allowed to have gloves. They have to catch it either with their hat or in their mouth or with their bare hands. Lorenzo Alexander. Let's make sure, Lorenzo, this is not the last time we do this.
Most definitely. You know, hopefully I can kind of venture my way into the real world and learn that business and learn that skill set. Be your colleague one of these days.
Well, man, I'm here for it.
I appreciate that.
Beef jerky segment.
Like a really mature, middle-aged guy looking at a 16-year-old who said she'd be right with me when she was doing nothing. I turn around and I walk out. But I left the bottles on the counter to make my point. Trying to buy a vegan protein shake. Which, by the way, tastes like ass. Just sell it to me. Jake came home. I'm like, damn, powder. What's up? Jake's like in the backyard just trying to bag Rays. He's trying to get whatever sun he can in January.
Easy decision for Red Sox and for
I like Alex Cora. Now that that shoe is dropped, my only other question is, how is Carlos Beltran, new Mets manager, who was actively involved in this as an Astros player, currently skating? He is Bill Cowher.
Thanks, Romy. Hey, listen, at least this time you don't have to go all the way to New York. We're going to meet you halfway in Kansas City.
I appreciate you doing that, too, Coach. Thanks for looking out for me. $1,000 in scratch-off tickets. Here's what I have to say about that. Wash away my shot. Wash away my prize. with a stack of scratcher tickets. War lady bums using trash bags as prom dresses. Oh, this dress. Who was the designer? I was going to go hefty, but it's a prom, so I threw down for Glad.
Fuck!
Hope that was worth it, Patch.
War lady bum.
Wesley Woodyard.
Damn, how you doing today? What's
good
up with the jungle? And you have two choices. Either you can dick him around, or you can tell him the truth and show him the right way.
I gotta give credit where credit is due.
Nobody works a mic like that guy, which is why it was kind of strange to hear him up there hyping up and being nice to Cowboy.
Stomp on his head as he's unconscious.
Dana White, August McGregor clothing line. You and I are both David August guys. How come we don't have a clothing line?
Yeah, right. I don't know. Because we're not Conor McGregor, I guess.
Why do you think I had such a chip on my shoulder? It's because of that childhood.
Childhood
that I spent shoveling horse crap when I didn't ride, listening to jazz, which I hated, and fixing fences, which I was not good at.
Saying something sucks is not a take, but when all of your three major sports teams totally suck, that is a take.
Anybody involved in a baseball game with an electronic anything is a felony. Anybody who does it is gone forever.
Aaron Jones, a guest of the Jim Rome Show, said he can feel the difference from this week from the usual routine.
The focus, the details, the energy, everything's amped up.
Bring it in here, big head.
A lot of negative clones out there, Jim.
You're everyone's problem.
Right next to Al Gore. That's where he'll be in dry.
And I'll rip that tiger off your gut and beat you with it.
Golden tick.
Python, good man.
You can take that to the bank.
A block is forever dope.
Big shout out to Queens, by the way.
And y'all chicken.
Think that I should stay and do a fourth hour.
Drew Kalisky.
Have a nice.
Take it easy on that seagull.
I know, man.
And that will be in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Good night now.
So good. So good. Alvin DeLauro is the GOAT. The absolute GOAT. Before I wrap this, let's go to Fountain Valley. He's back home. Sort of, kind of. Raider Mike. What's up, Mike?
Ben Smack, thanks for getting me in. Hey, safe travels to KC, Jim. You know, Jeff Leonard once referred to that place as a cow town, and I'll never forget my first time there. 1989 Kemper Arena for the REM Green Tour. Every freaking building in the place is made of brick. Hey, by the way, breakfast, you want brisket tacos, Jim. Hey, as a Raider fan, Jim, I've watched Andy Reid coach for years, but one game in particular sums up the man in my eyes. The 2016 game in Oakland, on our second series, our quarterback makes one of the most boneheaded interceptions I've ever seen a Raider QB make, which is saying a lot since I've watched Mark Wilson and Jamarcus Russell play. But the game gets out of hand. The Chiefs are driving late, 2 minutes left in the red zone in our end, and Reid has Alex Smith kill the clock. You know, Shanahan, Schottenheimer, those clowns are sticking the knife in and twisting it. Andy Reid is a class act, one of a hell of a coach, and I think, Jim, this is his best team. It wouldn't be the worst thing to see him get a ring, even for me as a Raider fan. Hey, Saturday night tip session in HB, I'm pulling my boy Silk off the disabled list. We're hitting it. Be up there about 10 p.m. Safe travels, Raider Nation, babe.
Nice job, Mike. And we end that show. I totally concur with him and his thoughts on Andy Reid. Amazing coach, class act. This might be his best team, and he's got a good look at it. That's it. My thanks to Kevin Ioli, Aaron Jones, and the Packers, CJ Nikowski, the XR4TI crew. Hope you have an amazing weekend. Once again, I will be in Kansas City to appear on the NFL on CBS. It is a two-hour special pregame show live from the stadium. Check me out from there. Have an amazing weekend. See you next time. We're out.